his shoulder into the edge of one of the consoles. His body slithered sideways where he hit Dean, knocking the boy backward. As Dean floated across the chamber, the lad took JB's legs completely from under him. The armorer had been holding Mildred tightly by the wrist, and as he fell, he pulled her after him with a stretched, clumsy elegance.
Damn it, man!
Christy would have made it if Abe hadn't skidded into Doc. The old man dropped his sword stick, which somehow caught Christy between the ankles.
Oh!
Her mane of hair sprayed out like a dazzling burst of radiant fire as she fell over to the right, toward the control panel of the sector, clipping it with the heel of one of her dark blue western boots. The slab of steel began to descend again, trapping the companions inside the control room.
Destruct now 40. 30 T. 20. 20 minutes and counting. 19 and count and counting. 19.
Roll under it!
16 minutes and 30 seconds.
His rifle scraping on the floor, Ryan crawled under the slowly falling sector. Dean scrambled alongside him. Christy, her eyes wide, was on hands and knees, coming out to join him in the passage. Doc, reaching for his fallen cane, seemed oblivious to the swelling danger.
Doc!
The old man glanced up at Ryan and saw that the descending slab of metal was now less than 4 feet from the floor. Abe was out.
Goddamn son of a bitch! I'm too fucking old for this shit!
JB and Mildred scooped up Doc between them, the woman grabbing at the silver-topped sword stick.
Come on, you old coot.
The three emerged into the corridor in a tangle of arms and legs. The sector was less than 2 feet from the floor of the station.
15 minutes and counting.
That file. What'd you do with it?
Fire blast had dropped it.
Just great.
Ryan lay flat on the floor and peeked under the block of steel. The blue folder was agonizingly close to the entrance. If he stuck his arm into the shrinking gap, he could probably almost reach it. Probably. Almost. The door wouldn't bruise or break his arm. It would pulp it into a thin smear of tissue, a micromillimeter deep.
No, Ryan.
But...
I said no.
14 minutes and counting.
Though Ryan hadn't tried to check it, he figured that the auto-destruct system was operating at least twice normal speed, which gave them around 6 minutes to retrace their steps and make the jump. Ryan was on his feet, already exhausted from the thin air, steadying himself for a swaying moment against the cold metal of the door. It had reached the bottom.
Come on. Run careful and slow.
Run careful and slow. Traded love you for that.
Shut up and move, JB.
Ryan led the way, trying to follow his own advice. The experience in the doorway to the control room had taught him a vital lesson. With the low gravity, it was fatally easy to lose balance. Time was dribbling away like sand through an hourglass, and a fall could so obviously be disastrous for all of them. Dean moved ahead of his father, running in graceful, loping bounds, looking back over his shoulder in triumph.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Come on, Dad, it's easy!
11 minutes and counting. 10 minutes and counting.
Ryan could already feel a tightness across his chest, the dry air rasping in his throat. His heart was pounding, and he was painfully aware of the blood coursing through his ears.
By the three Kennedys and the two Adamses, I swear I have not felt so blown as when I took part in a foot race up Mount Washington in my summer vacation. Before my sophomore year, I recall. It was...
Save your breath, Doc.
Mildred clasped a hand to her side as she jogged along with the armorer.
8 minutes and counting.
Ryan felt as though a band of hot steel were being clamped around his forehead, and his sight was blurring. Tiny sparks of crimson fire were circling through his brain, faster and faster, like miniature insects of flame whirling in a hurricane.
I gotta rest, just for a minute or so.
7 minutes and counting.
Keep moving, or we all get blown into space. Can't stop.
Ryan didn't even have the energy to look back at the man. Dean had vanished around the next bend in the corridor.
Can't be far.
Ryan didn't even know if he'd spoken out loud. He nearly tripped over a sprawled corpse. Trying to take a short step, he floated farther than he'd intended. His steel-tipped boot came crashing down, an ace on the line in the middle of the dead man's chest.
Shit!
ribs cracked like broken twigs, and the chest cavity seemed to close about Ryan's ankle like a ghoulish trap. The body shuddered, its withered arms and legs flapping like a gutter drunk, struggling to rise to sing another verse. With a wrenching effort, Ryan got free, staggering wildly sideways for several steps like a demented crab. He bounced off the left-hand inner wall, nearly going in through an open doorway. His arms flailed for balance, and the Steyr SSG-70 bolt-action rifle across his shoulders smashed hard into the opposite wall, making him fear for the delicate starlight night scope and the laser image enhancer. But there was no time to pause and check for damage.
We're here!
4 minutes and 30 seconds and counting. 4 minutes and counting.
Ryan raced through the control room, almost blacking out from the enormous effort of running in such a grossly diminished atmosphere. He skirted the last of the uniformed bodies, seeing Dean was ahead of him in the entrance to the gateway chamber.
150 seconds. 140. 130. 30.
Dean was hunkered down, his body trembling, his head resting on his arms. But he still managed a fragile, uncertain grin for his father.
We just made it.
Yeah, son. We did.
Ryan sat in the armaglass doorway, the purple wall spinning around at the edge of his dulled vision. He seemed to have gone partly deaf, his son's words coming to him as if from an infinite distance. Christy was right at Ryan's heels. Her green eyes stared at him unfocused, as if she were looking through him.
100 seconds.
I'm nearly done.
Come on, woman.
90 seconds.
Mildred entered next, her face drawn, bleeding from her lips with the strain. Then came the uneasy troika of Abe and JB, supporting Doc between them. The old man actually looked for a moment as if he were already aboard the Black Ferry, his eyes rolled back in his skull, his feet dragging.
80 seconds.
Get him in!
Ryan lent a hand to help Mildred into the chamber.
Sit down and get ready for the jump.
Could be a false alarm.
JB pushed Doc into the unit.
40 seconds.
Who wants to risk it, John?
Abe and the armorer joined Christy, all of them collapsing onto the smooth floor. Abe was retching and coughing, doubled up, his knees to his chin. Everyone looked as if they'd just completed a jump rather than about to start one. Unless the world blew up around them first.
30 seconds.
Ryan reached for the handle of the door to grasp it and slam it shut, triggering the mat-trans mechanism.
24. 23. 22. 21.
His hand was slippery with sweat, and he missed his hold, nearly toppling outside again on top of the recumbent corpse.
17.
God damn it!
16.
Now he had it. The door was finally shut.
8. 7. 6. 5. 4.
Come on! Work, you stupid units!
2,
work!
1. 0. 0.
Fuck.
Everything went dark and silent. One of the tail gunners on Warwag 1, known only as DT, had once gotten hold of some bad jolt, buying it across the bar in a frontier gaudy house. Ryan remembered the man, bearded and skinny, rolling around on his back in the middle of the camp, his eyes wide, screaming and roaring like a bull under the gelder's knife. Unlike some, DT had come back to them after a couple of days, and Ryan had asked him what had been so utterly terrifying. After what had seemed an eternity of consideration, the man had replied that he had either taken a drug that had made him mad, or he was plain mad, or he was dead, and he couldn't distinguish which was the most likely alternative. Ryan didn't know if he was dead, or mad, or someplace in between. The jump had begun so quickly that he didn't have time to sit or lie down and compose himself, as he did with the usual mat-trans leap. He'd been by the door, crouching as he readied himself to join the others on the floor. Then came the rushing shroud of suffocating blackness. He was watching himself in a mirror, a massive convex disc of highly polished silver set in an ornate frame of gold. Every few inches there was a carved acanthus with an intricate rose of platinum next to it. Ryan stared into it, seeing himself. He seemed to be lying naked on a large bed with a goose feather mattress. The room was lit in such a way that he could make out nothing of his surroundings. The mirror was all that there was. And all that there was in the mirror was his own face and body. It was instantly recognizable and horribly different. His face was swollen and puffed out.